This episode of Fuel for the Soul is powered by ASICS. Head over to ASICS.com and sign up for a one ASICS account. It's completely free, and when you sign up, you will receive 10% off your first purchase. You'll also gain access to exclusive colorways on ASICS.com, free standard shipping, special birthday month discounts, and more.
Hi, this is Thomas with Believe in the Run.
This is Megan with Believe in the Run.
And this is Megan with Featherstone Nutrition.
AKA Feathers, if you don't got it by now, you haven't been listening, and you should start from the beginning at this point. But that's Feathers, AKA, because there's two Megans, and who wants to deal with that? Nobody.
Yeah, something like that. And you're listening to Fuel for the Soul, the podcast where we chat all things hydration and nutrition and how it affects performance. And today is a special episode where we got to chat with Joshua Rowe. He is the performance scientist at Morton.
I don't think I chatted with him.
Thomas wasn't there. Basically, I wasn't there either, because what happened is...
I had severe connectivity issues,
and I was able to see parts of Megan and Josh, and then it got to a point where it was just kicking me off, and so Megan, aka Feathers, basically had to do the whole interview by herself.
Did you get to say anything?
I got to introduce him and ask him one question about shoes.
All right. What shoe did he like?
We didn't talk about that.
Oh, damn it.
But he's Morton, so I'm going to go ahead and say Nike.
All right. I mean, everybody's using it now, like all the Adidas athletes, everybody uses it.
True. And yeah, before we just dive into this episode, Megan, is there anything you want to say about what we talked about, or should we just let the conversation go?
I mean, I think, yeah, we can just let it rock and roll, but this is a very special episode because this dude was awesome. He was the nerdy scientist, but in like the coolest way possible. So if you like when I talk, you know, some statistics about how important nutrition is for our performance, this guy's going to drop some bombs on us that make, you know, everything we talk about on this show even more important. So it's pretty cool. Keep listening.
Okay. So before we dive into our conversation with Josh, all about Morton products, we want to chat about our sponsor today, which is Runway, which is R-N-W-Y. No vowels in that one. And Megan, talk to us about exactly what is Runway.
Yes, Runway is a newer collagen supplement that we've all been testing and trying and working on because we all know that we could use a little bit of assistance keeping our joints healthy, our soft tissues healthy, and collagen shows all sorts of studies that it helps keep our tendons, ligaments, cartilage, all those things a little healthier, or maybe help repair things if they've gotten a little wonky. So we love Runway Collagen because it is lemon-lime flavored, so we can just shake it up and drink it on down instead of trying to add it to another drink to cover up the collagen flavor. I did have a couple of people tell me it upset their stomach. There's some B vitamins on it, so we should never be running on an empty stomach, and we need to take this before we run. So make sure we're eating something if you have found that the B vitamins in there bothered your stomach, just like taking a multivitamin on an empty stomach, right? That doesn't sit well for some of us. So just make sure you eat some grams or some toast or bagel or something along with your Runway. And give that a whirl. I'm going to say, if you want to try Runway, you can use the code FEATHERS15 to save 15% on their collagen product.
All right. Today we are chatting with Josh Rowe, who is a performance scientist for Morton. Josh, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on. It's an honor. So yeah, thank you.
So Josh, we have a ton of questions specifically about all of these Morton products. But before we dive into that, can you tell us a little bit about how one even becomes a performance scientist?
Okay, yeah, it's a long story, but I'll try and keep it short. But I very much, after kind of my studies at university, I went on to study a PhD. And my PhD was very much kind of focused around carbohydrate metabolism and ways of optimizing endurance athletes' kind of fueling strategies. And during my kind of undergrad, during my master's kind of studies, a lot of the research I was doing was focused around carbohydrate metabolism, but specifically for cyclists. And what I found is really from both from the research I was conducting at the university and also looking at the research that was in the literature, it very much was very cycling central. And then what there was a lot of the current recommendations and guidelines were doing were being extrapolated from cycling to running. And my kind of PhD was very focused on and trying to understand what the kind of current guidelines are prescribed for runners and if they're still applicable, because we know that at the time athletes were very much recommended to have really high carbohydrate intakes during the marathon, but really pre-2017, 2016, that wasn't the case. Athletes really struggled to ingest, if any, carbohydrates. So my PhD was focused on what kind of current fueling strategies that worked, and then also how could we kind of improve them. And I did a series of studies looking at different ranges of carbohydrate intakes, what types of carbohydrates, the dosages, the frequencies. And it very much kind of came around that the whole essence of the PhD was that it showed carbohydrates important for marathon runners, but the GI issues that caused that were caused by the high carbohydrate intakes had a negative impact on performance. And what I did from there is, well, at the time I was going to do a gut trainability study, and some research was coming out, and then it was around about the time of the Breaking Two and the Nike Breaking Two project. And there was a company called Morton, and they had this, when I kind of looked into them, they had this technology called the hydrogel technology, which at the time they claimed that athletes could ingest large quantities of carbohydrates whilst mitigating all GI issues, which was at the time for my kind of research questions was a bit like the holy grail. And so I kind of led and did a series of research around the hydrogel technology, looking at how hydrogel technology intakes compared to traditional carbohydrate intakes impacted endurance athletes' performance and carbohydrate uptake. And I did a lot of studies around that, and then published the studies. And then from there, things kind of got a little bit crazy for myself. A lot of kind of nutrition companies wanted me to kind of see if I could replicate some of the research, because one of the big aspects I did is I created my own hydrogel to kind of validate the technology. But because Morton had the patent of the technology, it made only sense to kind of join Morton. And as a company, there is a really exciting kind of vision what they have planned, not only just what I've been working with them for the last couple of years, but their kind of long-term strategy is really exciting. And yeah, and so it kind of, long story short, I did a lot of research at the university and joined Morton after that, and I've been working there ever since.
So it sounds like in 2016, 2017, you were also seeing what I was seeing as a sports dietitian, that marathoners, runners just weren't fueling enough. So I need to personally thank you for throwing this research in the mix and helping us all fuel a little better, because I truly do think, specifically over the last 3 years, I would say, I'm finally starting to see that I think we're getting it, right? We're getting that we need to be adequately fueling when we're out there trying to perform our best. So before we go further, just a big thank you for doing all of this research. I'm a big nerd, and I appreciate that that's where you got started.
Oh, no, thank you. But there was a lot of research involved, so it wasn't just me. But and there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. But yeah, I think, as you say, there's been a big transition in the last 4 to 5 years, where actually athletes have realized, okay, now I can ingest carbohydrates at the recommended rates or even above the recommended rates. It's really kind of transcended the really marathon sport. And as you see now how the marathon is run, was probably really like pre-2016. It was very much a, let's run the first half, and then whoever survived the second half was kind of the winner. And now you look, records kind of breaking on a yearly basis, and athletes, like, the after 30 kilometers, that's kind of when the race starts, and athletes are running faster for the remaining kind of 5 kilometers to 10 kilometers than they've ever done before. And there's two kind of big aspects most probably to that. There's the advancements in the shoe technology, but then there's a significant advancement in the fueling technology. And yeah, the hydrogel technology has been really the one that's kind of really allowed athletes to kind of push and have the energy stores to really attack the marathon like the Alakit's done nowadays.
I hope this question isn't redundant because I could partially hear what you're saying, Josh. But so do you feel like, because we've had such an advancement with the shoes, and I feel like that's highlighted and talked about, and that's what we give sort of credit towards these like faster times and amazing performances. Do you feel like it's more nutrition based and that we've had these advances, and also just, I think athletes in general have a better understanding of how important fueling is. Do you think that that's been a big part of these giant leaps we've had, and especially the marathon?
Yeah, completely. I think we definitely can't rule out the advancements in the shoe technology, as you say, the improvements in kind of running economy, and also like the mechanical stress allowing athletes to do more. But when we look at the advancements in kind of fueling, it's a massive leap. What Morton, since the release of the hydrogel technology, one, it's allowed athletes to really understand that they can ingest carbohydrates and really fuel aggressively during the marathon, but also during training. But then also, you say it's that awareness now. Like, not only do athletes know they can do it, but they're actually doing that. If you look at what athletes were doing very much pre-2016 and to the early 2000s, if there's only a handful of athletes that were kind of really fueling correctly and during the marathon, and even if they were, they were most probably getting nowhere near close to some of the current kind of recommendation guidelines. And we know from the research that there is a carbohydrate dosage response, like going from 30 grams of carbohydrates per hour to 60 to 90, the performance gains are quite significant. And most probably, if you look at an athlete who had purely water for the marathon to then going to have 90 grams of carbohydrates, the performance gains are far significant than having wearing a carbon shoe in terms of the 4% improvement in running economy. Well, looking at some of the research, it's anything from 8 to 12% improvement when you kind of fully have an appropriate kind of fueling strategy. So, yeah, and I think that's definitely most probably gone under the radar a little bit, and it's most probably Morton came out at the same time as the shoe technology advancements, and Morton was a very small company during that period, so we just got most probably drowned out during that kind of that early kind of excitement of the shoes. But I think when you speak to a lot of athletes, and especially the elite athletes, they really do kind of respect that the work and the innovation kind of Morton have done. And we have to go to all of the world majors and support athletes. And like, we've Morton since 2016 have fueled every world major marathon winner, both male and female, every world marathon, world championship marathon winner, an Olympic marathon winner, both male and female. So it just shows almost like the dominance in terms of, if athletes really want to fuel appropriately and really attack the race, then the only way they can do that is by harnessing the hydrogel technology. So yeah, it's supposed to be definitely gone under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to repeat that again, what you said as a scientist. You said nutrition can provide an 8 to 12% performance improvement if we're fueling adequately and have enough carbohydrate availability out there. And I think that's huge. I mean, that if somebody isn't on the bandwagon of taking enough fuel and carbohydrates during their run, I think that 8 to 12% is mind-blowing.
Yeah, and definitely. And then it's not just like the in-race, like the performance gains you get, but it's the training benefits as well. And I think that's mm-hmm. what we're seeing for athletes that really have a good fueling plan and use their fueling quite strategically in training. The training benefits, they compound. So it's, you might not, although you get maybe a small performance benefit in the session, it's the compound effect of doing it over a marathon block. And that's this is where we're in this exciting period now, where we're seeing athletes where they're really using having good fuel and using it strategically in the both long side their training, they're really being able to kind of maximize the training adaptation. So yeah, we're in a kind of an exciting time now, and we can see that in the races.
Absolutely. So fueling well in our long runs, which we often have people not do for a multitude of reasons. So making sure we're fueling really well out there in our training runs to be able to gain some of those performance enhancements and benefits so that then we're pushing our fitness forward even more by fueling our long runs. So I love that message too. So when you talk about taking people from like 30 grams of carbs to 60 to 90, if you were to get your hands on somebody that wasn't fueling adequately, during their races or training, like where would you try to get them to? Would you try to get people up to 90 grams or, you know, tell us a little bit about that?
I think it's very individual. So you've got to first identify like where their kind of comfort zone is. And it's very much kind of on the athlete to kind of identify that. Some athletes, they have a really high tolerance from the get go. And they can go to relatively close to maybe 60 to 90 quite quickly. Whereas some of us, they need a little bit more of a bit of a run up or a bit of a build up to kind of get to that point. But when it comes to like kind of fueling, especially say for the marathon, you almost as well, you don't kind of need to rush it. I think the way a lot of people go wrong is they only kind of start to think about the fueling the last 2 weeks of the marathon prep. Mm-hmm. Once they've kind of done the remain of the last run and the long run, and they're kind of on that kind of starting to kind of like build reduce the kind of the training load, then they start to think, okay, what am I going to do for my trainers? What nutrition should I use? And but very much what you, if you kind of integrate the kind of fueling very early on into the kind of say the marathon or your kind of training block, and what that does is it allows you to kind of have that build up. So if you, especially during the kind of the first phases of the marathon block, you might not be doing as much long runs, or the intensity might not be as high. So you can start off with a lower kind of carbohydrate intake. And as the intensity increases and the long runs and the duration increases, you can start to increase your carbohydrate intake alongside that. So it kind of gives the body and allows it to kind of adapt. And that's kind of when we talk about, as Morten, we say, kind of get used to it. But it's very much kind of that gut trainability and training the gut to be able to kind of metabolize and utilize the carbohydrates. And the more you can integrate it within your training, the better. And yeah, and what we try and say, especially for, say, elite athletes, but also for non-elite athletes, is to kind of pick your kind of nutrition, or like do your kind of your fueling runs, try and select them at different points during the kind of during kind of your weekly training. So sometimes athletes have a long run or a long kind of marathon specific workout, and during that run you'd most probably want to have something close to kind of race the race intake that you're going to have. So if you're aiming to get, say, 90 grams of carbohydrates or 60 grams of carbohydrates, you would want to kind of try and replicate that within that kind of that marathon simulation session. But then also during the week, you might have another kind of relatively medium long run, which is at a lower intensity. And what the athletes can do there is, what we advise is they do almost like a carbohydrate overcompensation run. And what that means is, because it's at lower intensity, the athletes can have a little bit more carbohydrates, and what that does there is it's kind of like helping that kind of gut trainability. So you're not trying to do it in your marathon workout. You're kind of doing it in a relatively low intensity. So it kind of reduces the risk if you do get any GI issues. And what that does, if you kind of do that maybe 10 to 8 weeks in the build up to the marathon, by the time you get to the marathon day, you'll feel very kind of comfortable with the whole kind of process of taking carbohydrates on. But then also your kind of gut would have been able to respond really well to that. And you would have done most probably a lot of kind of gut trainability and adaptations to, yeah, allow your body to do that.
I love to hear that, because I often hear from runners that they fuel their long runs that have the high intensity. But like you're saying, some of the lower intensity, medium long runs, they're like, oh, I don't need to fuel. So what you're saying is like, it's an even better idea to fuel hard during those as well, because that can be where we can start to get our gut to adjust and absorb and get used to having more carbohydrates around. So yeah, great message. Yeah. I love that.
No, yeah. Exactly.
So in case, I mean, I think in my eyes, you know, Morton is a product in and of itself, right? Like you said, they have the patent on the hydrogel technology. It allows us to utilize and absorb, take in more carbohydrates as that hydrogel works in our stomach. But in case someone isn't super familiar with the hydrogel technology that really separates Morton, could you give a little rundown of it for everybody?
Yeah. Okay. So I think the technical term for the hydrogel is that it's a hydrophilic polymer that can swell and maintain its structure while holding a large amount of water. But what that kind of means in a kind of the non-technical sense is that the hydrogel is pH sensitive and it's able to adapt to different kind of pH ranges. And the technology was first originated from the medical industry and it was designed for drug delivery. And the purpose is because the GI tract, especially your stomach, is really acidic. And it's designed to kind of destroy any kind of bacteria or anything that's trying to eliminate anything that's not meant to be there. And the whole kind of idea of the hydrogel drug delivery system is to bypass the stomach and then allow the nutrients or the drugs to be then be uptaken in the appropriate site. And what Morton were able to do is harness that technology, but then instead of having things like, say, antibiotics, have the carbohydrates as the component, and then the hydrogel as the vehicle. And what happens is, as you say, when you ingest the carbohydrates, so either the gels or the drink mixes, once it enters the stomach, because the stomach's really acidic, the hydrogel creates this three-dimensional structure around the carbohydrate and really kind of protects the carbohydrate. And then once it kind of, and it creates this kind of like solid, a semi-solid structure. And a lot of, this is why a lot of athletes really call it like the disappearing drink, because you don't get that swashing around. You don't get that gravitational load. It's kind of in a semi-solid structure. And then once it goes into the small intestines, once it's been bypassed into the small intestines, there's a change in pH. And because the small intestines is less acidic, the hydrogel is then designed to then degrade and release the carbohydrates for absorption. So it's a really clever system because it means that the carbohydrates are able to be delivered more kind of effectively and be able to bypass a lot of kind of the negative associations of the stomach and really be absorbed into the appropriate sites. And that's kind of like how Morton have been really successful, because it's able to kind of deliver the carbohydrates so effectively. It's allowed to not only just like mitigate a lot of the GI issues, but then also from there, it reduces that kind of the gravitational load as well. And athletes feel a lot more confident in taking, say, the Morton products than a traditional carbohydrate drink. Because a traditional sports drink, once it kind of enters the GI tract or the stomach, it's then exposed to the gastric environment. And then the gastric environment then has to handle that. And then it needs to go into the small intestines. So there's a lot of kind of work on the GI tract, whereas with the hydrogel, that kind of workload is taken away. And taken away from the GI tract and help support the delivery of the carbohydrates, because the biggest issue with, especially with running, but also with other mode of exercise, is when you're exercising, especially at high intensity, blood flow goes away from the stomach. And once kind of blood flow goes away from the stomach, then it's working at a lower capacity. So then its kind of efficiency is kind of relatively impaired. And that's kind of where the hydrogel kind of comes into its own, because it's able to kind of take that load away from the GI tract and kind of, help to be a bit more efficient in terms of the delivery of the carbohydrates.
Yeah. And I think I personally was able to fuel enough when I changed to Morton because I was experiencing exactly what you're describing. So, you know, I do think, like you said, it really does change the game for how much we can consume. The age-old question that we are constantly getting that I'm hoping you can help me come up with a concrete answer for is some of my really heavy, salty sweaters want to know if they can add some sort of sodium product into the 320 or take a salt pill with the gel. And we've heard buzzings that sodium will break down the hydrogel. So I'm very curious what your thoughts are on somebody who does need more sodium than the Morton products offer. What do we know about that?
Oh, it's a good question. There's must probably a couple of answers to that. But I mean, the first question is most probably they don't need more sodium than that's in the products. That's the first starting point. But then if they choose to add, as you say, any kind of electrolytes or like salt tablets, then it's preferentially is best to do that not with the hydrogel, because the issue is, especially with the salt tablets, they tend to contain like citric acid, sodium bicarb and sodium carbonate. So when they are exposed within the water, it kind of creates a chemical reaction. And what that can do is it can weaken the formation of the hydrogel or the structure of it. So that's kind of why we advise people not to mix, like you say, add additional salts or salt tablets, just because these tend to kind of, include acidics, which then can compromise the functionality of the hydrogel. But yeah, the first question is do they really need the additional sodium? Because chances are, especially if it's just a marathon, then definitely not. If it's an ultra, then that's kind of another question in itself, and there might be some application, but not as much as most probably that a lot of people are currently doing.
Yeah, I've been listening to like every podcast of all the top three from the Olympic trials, and Clayton Young, who took second for the men, rumor has it he puts 320 in his bottles with ketones, with electrolytes. So he's mixing all sorts of stuff in there. And I know a lot of people do. A lot of people mix stuff up. So I always just wonder, you know, people are going to do what they're going to do and what they think works best. But I always just wonder, like, from a scientific standpoint, like, are we totally compromising that hydrogel by? So it sounds like maybe. We might be.
Yes. Yeah. Most probably in that case, if he's added numerous things, then yes, like the essence or the formation of the hydrogel will likely be impaired. It might still kind of operate in some capacity, but depending on, without knowing exactly kind of what products, it wouldn't be able to know, like, fully know. But that's kind of why we always say to athletes, if they do choose to add these additional kind of supplements, then it's preferentially better to kind of do it without kind of mixing with the hydrogel technology, just to kind of really preserve the functionality of the hydrogel, because at the end of the day, once that kind of functionality of the hydrogel is impaired, then you might as well you're taking a normal sports drink, and we all know kind of what happens when if you have a normal sports drink in a high concentration, then you kind of tend to increase your chance of GI issues.
So it kind of sounds like if somebody is going to do it, you want to offset it. So you'd want to take like a gel and then like 15 minutes later, take the sodium. Like, would that be your recommendation?
Yeah, I think you could probably have them in conjunction, but just it's not having them in the bottle itself. That's the issue. Because the problem is if you change the environment of the drink mixes or the gels, then you're changing the functionality or the properties of the hydrogel and the strength of it. So it might likely, depending on, because the chances are they won't be drastically changing the pH environment of the stomach. So ingesting it relatively in the same time period might be fine, but it's compromising the actual what's going in the drinks bottle. That's the bit where we can't really guarantee that the hydrogel technology will be working if people choose to do that.
That makes sense. Yeah. Because I know there's going to be a lot of people freaking out when they hear you say this. So it sounds like We can do what we want. And I always tell people when they ask me, like, is this going to totally ruin it? I'm like, well, are you still tolerating it? Are you having any GI issues? Is it okay? Then you're probably fine, you know, even if it is compromised a little bit. If you're tolerating it and it's, you know, you're getting enough in. So
yeah, for us, like we can only kind of advise, but like if people kind of choose to and they're still kind of getting the benefits from it, then of course it's at the end of the day, we develop the products. It's for everyone else. They can completely choose to use it how they wish. Like long as if they feel the benefits for themselves, then of course, then they have the freedom to do what they want.
Great. And I know too, we wanted to talk a little bit about like future products or other products besides the gels and the drinks. So I know you guys came out with the solid bars, which I absolutely love for carb loading. And I know a lot of people like them as well. Is there anything else in the mix or anything else that you can share with us about you guys?
Well, actually today we just released a smaller dose of the sodium bicarb. So we've released the 12 gram sodium bicarb. But we do have a range of kind of products that we plan to release. I don't want to say too much because I'll get in trouble. I think it's pretty secretive. But we're working on quite numerous different types of products, both from a physical to digital products. And I think that's the beauty of Morton is people very much sort of associate us with as a nutrition company, but we very much class ourselves as maybe like a biotech company, and we really try to improve athletes' performance and health. We don't really kind of try to constrain ourselves just to nutrition products. So that's the exciting part is we have a lot of plans and a lot of products kind of in the pipeline over the next couple of years. And the issue we have is our products take quite a lot of time to develop. So if you must really look at our product range, we have really quite a small product range in terms of compared to kind of traditional companies, and that's relatively just comes down to the R&D and the amount of time and effort that goes into developing the products. If we look at the sodium bicarb product, that took like 2.5 to 3 years to develop, and we could have most probably released the product maybe within the first year, but we wanted to validate it within a lot of sports. So we had athletes that competed using it during the Olympics, during the World Championships, and we had many athletes breaking the world records, winning Olympic gold medals. So we had the validation from the athletes, but then we wanted to have a lot of like scientific data to kind of like back that up as well. And that's kind of how our philosophy for developing all of our products is there is a long kind of product development pipeline, but the idea is that we would only ever release something if we know it's going to truly improve the athlete's performance or health. So I think that's most probably why people maybe get a little bit frustrated or like, oh, we want more and more. But the R&D team, we work in like tirelessly. We're always collecting data, always testing new products. But for us, we want to kind of do by the athletes, but then also by the consumers as well, and make sure that when we have something, it really is innovative and revolutionary. Like we could easily develop really simple products, and from a sales perspective, we know it would do relatively well. But for us, that's not exciting. We'd rather, where are the problems? What are athletes really struggling to either consume or understand? And can we kind of develop products around that? And really add value to kind of the whole industry. That's the exciting part. We have some. I'd maybe best not say too much. Sorry.
Well, you know, we will all keep a lookout because we all get very excited when there's new things dropping from you guys, because I do. I think you've built a great reputation as far as your R&D, right? And all the time that you put into testing products and the research behind it all. And I think that's why you guys are a leader in the sports nutrition market. And it sounds like maybe we'll be branching out around sports nutrition, which is very cool for other performance things. So, it's super exciting.
It's an exciting company to work for. Like you say, we really try to develop products in a in a performance benefit way and also really work with the athletes. And that takes time. Like if we look at, we want to evaluate the products over, say, a whole season. So we, for that, it's very much a 6 to 12 month kind of like basis. So, and it takes a lot of time for the athletes to kind of, provide it like feedback. We go on a lot of camps. So yeah, we definitely want to kind of do right by the athletes in that sense, and also by the consumers as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we appreciate all your hard work so that we can all have that performance benefit from using your products and getting in more carbs. Is there anything else you want to make sure we get into the podcast about anything you're up to or anything the company's up to?
I'm the worst salesperson in the world. So I definitely would not, and was probably, would never sell the company in that sense. But we have a really big year ahead, I think, with the Olympics. Last year was, we very much kind of, Morton's transitioned into from being, we had this kind of the endurance triangle, as we called it, which was the running, cycling, triathlon. And our products were very much kind of based within that kind of endurance triangle. But with the development of the sodium bicarb system, or the Morton bicarb system, that's kind of really opened up the doors to a lot of sports. And we have like the power-based triangle, which is like track and field, cycling. And then now we're kind of going into a lot of kind of like team sports as well. So we have a busy year ahead. And so it's going to be, it's going to be interesting.
Going to keep you busy on the research side.
Yes, yeah, very much so. And we have relatively a small team, so people sometimes underestimate, because we're such a global company, they think maybe we're a very big company, but we're still very small. It's a small company based out of Gothenburg, Sweden. We have an office, and although we're kind of expanding and growing out of the office itself, we're still relatively quite small. But I think that for us, it works in our favor, because we can, as you say, the bigger the companies get, sometimes there's the processes and in terms of the opportunities to innovate, sometimes it gets harder and harder. So for Morton, we're really trying to still stay as nimble as possible, and still trying to be focused as a research and innovative kind of company first, which is very sometimes difficult to do within the current climate. But we have some very good, I would say, like our CEO and like the board and the kind of the people kind of who back us, they're really supportive in kind of like the long-term vision of Morton. So it makes it a lot easier in terms of like driving research and innovation.
I mean, it's just so good to see a company that's supporting this much of the research side of things and then bringing those products to the consumer. So thank you again for all the hard work that you are doing. And I know a lot of people have questions about Morton that you were able to kind of uncover here and share a little bit more about the benefits of fueling enough. That's what we like to talk about on Fuel for the Soul, our nutrition podcast, is to just make sure that people are fueling enough for their daily lives, for their performance, and getting the most out of their bodies and keeping themselves healthy and safe. So we appreciate all your help and giving products to us to allow us to meet those goals and drive for better performance that maybe we didn't even realize we were capable of. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, not a problem at all. And I would say at Morton, we're very much an open company. So we have kind of like a contact details on Morton.com. So, and we have nutritionists internally. So if athletes ever have questions or want kind of more kind of bespoke information, then feel free to kind of reach out. We've really tried to provide as much information as possible, especially as you say, this day and age of, there's so much information athletes can absorb, but it's very difficult to know what's the right sort of information and what's the wrong sort of information. And yeah, for us at Morton, we really try to be as transparent as possible and really kind of lead by the research. So I'd say sometimes in our recommendations, we would even advise athletes that actually they don't need to use products specifically in that situation. And that's sometimes it's quite rare for, say, a nutrition company, because a lot of people just like to recommend products for every situation, every scenario that's possible. But for us, really, as you say, when we know when athletes fuel properly in the correct occasions and the right scenarios, the performance comes. And for that, we know it's easy to kind of educate people around that and stick to the sciences than just kind of recommending products for here, there, and everywhere. So yeah, if anyone ever has any questions, then always feel free to reach out.
Yeah, that's great to know for sure. And thank you for being here with us today, Josh, and telling us a little bit more about your expertise behind the scenes. Like I said, love to hear all about the nerdy research that's happening in the background of all these products that we love. So thank you again for your time and for being here.
No problem. No, thank you. Thanks for having me. Big honor.
You guys just blew my mind. Like, thank God Feathers was there to ask some questions while you were having technical difficulties, because that was amazing. Like, and it did prove a lot of our theories on fueling, and the more fuel you can get in, it kind of reinforces some of the themes of this show already. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought Josh was, first of all, a wealth of knowledge, and it was really nice to hear from someone else that aligned so much with what Megan, you've been saying. And it was a cool, fun interview. You know, I'm like you, I'm a nerd, I love the stats and stuff. So it was, mm-hmm. It was fun.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, to be completely transparent, like, Meg set this up with Josh. Like, I didn't know anything about him. Like, I looked at his LinkedIn bio and I was like, cool, sounds like he's super smart, but like, didn't know his, you know, stance on things or anything. So it was really cool to hear, like we said, you know, kind of all of our messages continue to be echoed, and let's all just tattoo it on our forearm. 8-12% performance improvement from nutrition in the marathon. Let's just
throw that out there one more time.
Yep. Exactly.
That's more than you can get from your Alpha Fly 3.
Exactly. Way so more. Add them together and then you're just magical.
And then get some sleep.
Yeah, true.
All right, everyone. Thanks as always for tuning in, and we will chat to you in a couple weeks.
Peas and carrots and Morton.
Bye.
Bye.